Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. What do you think? I got my Miami shirt on with the flamingos and everything. I'm ready to go for Rebel Capitalists Live. It is this weekend. Super stoked. Starts on Friday. Speakers Saturday, Sunday. Doug Casey, Robert Kiyosaki, Dr. Chris Martinson, Joseph Wang, Jeff Snyder, Steve Van Meter, Lynette Zhang, Kenny McElroy, Brent Johnson, Hartman, everybody's going to be here. So if you guys are in the area and maybe you haven't got your ticket, make sure you get your ticket at rebelcapitalslive.com. It's going to be one hell of an event. So I wanted to go over Jerome Powell. I guess he just got done testifying in front of Congress, and he made some claims about the recession or a potential recession that I think shed light on how the Fed operates. I think that's the best way of saying it. And if you like my glasses as well, these are pretty slick. I bought these. They have blue lenses or something like that. They're supposed to get rid of all the blue light. My other ones were supposed to do that as well, but they didn't do that great of a job. So I bought these. The sales gal said that they work real well. I don't know if it's just kind of snake oil or a placebo, or we'll see. I'll let you know how these things work. So if you have problems with all, if you're in front of the computer all the time and you have trouble with headaches and stuff like that, I'll let you know if it works. But anyway, getting back to Jerome Powell here, I'm not going to play the whole video, but I want to play just a small clip and then kind of discuss it further. So here's about a 30-second clip where this politician basically asks Jerome Powell about recession risks. And you know, one thing I want to say in favor of Jerome Powell is I don't think he's a bad guy. Like, I don't think he's not Klaus in my, he's not Benioff. He's not one of these people. I don't agree with a lot of the things he's done. I think he's made some mistakes, and I would do things obviously much, much different. But I think he's got good intentions, and he's just obviously in a difficult spot. But he seems like a smart guy. And pretty straightforward. But these politicians, my goodness gracious, you can tell that they don't even understand the questions they're asking him, that they just had these questions written by maybe one of their staff members. Because when they read them, they really can't elaborate on them at all, because it would just make themselves look foolish, because then it would be obvious that they don't even understand the question they're asking. So I do feel a bit sorry for Jerome Powell, because he and they try to set him up with all of these questions to make him seem like he's on Biden's side or he's against Biden or all the, I mean, it's just political theater, kabuki theater, whatever you want to call it. But anyway, let's not get too sidetracked here. Let me go ahead and play this clip.
As particularly elevated right now, you should know that no one is very good at forecasting, recessions and very far out. No one's been able to do that regularly. So
no one has been able to predict recessions. It's impossible to predict that far out. All right. Well, I'd like to call Jerome Powell's attention to something called a yield curve, because the yield curve actually predicts every single recession we're talking about. It's batting like 95%. And I would argue it's 100%. It had one, I think, back in the 1960s or so, where it kind of did a double dip. But pretty much when that thing inverts, 100% of the time, you get a recession within 18 to 24 months. Now, maybe he's saying you can't, there's nothing that can predict it, or no one can predict it within the span of 3 months or 6 months. Okay, I'll give him that. But as far as just not being able to predict a recession, I think that's complete nonsense. I think he knows that. And this is what I wanted to dissect a little bit further. The Fed cannot come out and say what they believe. So you've got to kind of read the tea leaves. You got to read between the lines. Because in their view, it's all about aggregate demand. So if for some reason they came out and said, yes, there's a 95% chance that we have a recession, look at the yield curve, then people would spend less money, they'd tighten their belts, they'd start to save, which would create the recession. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, or it would exacerbate the existing recession we're in, or the recession we would have had in, call it 18 to 24 months. This is their view. So understanding that they are willing to, I don't want to use the term lie because I think it's a little too strong, but they're more than willing to exclude data. They're more than willing to present the economy to the American public in a way that they think is best for society at large, or that they think is best for the economy. Okay. Let's take it to another step. If they come out and spin reality, let's just say, because they think that's what's best for society, because if they don't, then people are going to behave in a way which is counterproductive. By default, they're saying that you are stupid and they are smart. And we can't come out and just be completely forthright. Now, again, I'm not saying he's lying, but they're not being totally upfront about everything they know. And they're saying, we can't be completely forthright with you because you can't handle the truth. Like Jack Nicholson. That was for those younger people. That was a movie called A Few Good Men, where Jack Nicholson gets on stage and it's a very famous line. He says, you can't handle the truth. And so it's this central planning belief system, this central planning mindset, and this central planning framework that they need all the power of the control. They need to determine what is right, what is wrong. They need to determine what interest rates are. That the free market, and all of you dumb rubes in the society, you can't be trusted to determine these things on your own. Because left to your own devices, you will make the wrong decision. Why? Because you're just not as smart as the central planners. You're not as enlightened. You're not as educated. So again, I want to have a little sympathy for the devil here, in that I don't think Jerome Powell is a bad guy. But I also want to call them out once again, because I think they're just proving beyond any shadow of a doubt that although I wouldn't put them in the category of a eugenicist, I would definitely put them in a category of a central planner, and them believing that it's best for society if a few people at the top have all the power and the control. Now, to further illustrate this, and again, I would encourage, only a 10-minute video here, and this is on CNBC television, is the YouTube channel. He goes on to talk about cryptocurrency. And this senator or politician or this crazy-looking guy here, there he is, Mr. Brown. I don't know who the hell Mr. Brown is. I don't care. But not that smart of a guy. You can tell by his questioning. But he's really angling, like, we have to regulate Bitcoin. We have to, he didn't say that outright, but we need to regulate cryptocurrency. We need to regulate stable coins, blah, 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 blah. Because if we don't, the consumers are going to fall victim to their own decision-making, which is really what this boils down to, right? We can't allow the average Joe and Jane to make decisions on their own. We need to protect them. It's this paternal nonsense, which always inevitably leads to the politicians, Mr. Brown, having all the power and the control and being able to micromanage your life. Because again, you're just too stupid to do that on your own. So what would the solution to this be? Let people go bust. Let people lose money. Simple solution. Let them lose money. And guess what's going to happen? They're not going to do it again. It's just, you have to go through this educational process. And then what also happens is you let the bad actors go bust, and the people who, the entities that actually performed well, they take over the assets of the failed entities, and the whole system is stronger and more sustainable as a whole. But we do the complete opposite. We try to protect people from making their own decisions, and we try to prop up all the bad actors in the financial system through bailouts and creating moral hazard.
Hey, Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist Show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today.
And also, too, this gets people in the habit of not thinking for themselves. Imagine, just for all of you on this live stream right now, what would happen if there was no FDIC insurance? Let's just say that none of your money was insured, not even 1 cent that you have in a bank. Would your decision-making process for what bank you use change at all? Let's just say that during the financial crisis, that we just let these banks go bust and people lost money. You had money in Wells Fargo. Guess what? That's gone. Let's just fast forward. Assuming that would have happened, would it have been devastating? Yes. Would we have gone through a global depression? Yes. Would your decision making be different on where to hold your hard-earned dollars? Would your decision-making be different today? Yes. So we can't just say, well, let's just bail everyone out. Let's just, quote-unquote, print money. Let's just do quantitative easing so we don't feel any pain, assuming that is the best path to take. No, not necessarily. It's a cost-benefit analysis. There are no solutions. There are only alternatives. So we need to look at the alternatives and say, if we do this, what are the benefits? But what are the costs? Short-term, mid-term, long-term. Not just on the financial system, but on society. Are we dumbing people down by taking away this, what should be a basic responsibility? Meaning, where should I put my money? Where should I put my hard-earned savings, my excess productivity? Where should I put that? That's probably the biggest, most important decision, one of the most important decisions that you can make in your life. But yet the government has tried to take that away from you, all for your safety and security, which does what? It just makes you just forever a child. And the state is the parent. It creates this dynamic. It's like from cradle to grave, where you are a child, and any difficult decision that might hold some risk, we're going to go ahead and take that away from you, and you're going to let us, the government, the parent, make that decision for you. Again, we're doing this with adults here, 30, 40, 50, 60-year-old adults. We're taking away that decision-making process so they don't have to think through it themselves. This on net balance, sure, would it? There'd be some busts? Would people lose money? Yes, it would. But people would be far more resilient. People would be far smarter and far more educated about the entire financial system. And the banks that were prudent would exist today, and the banks that were not prudent would be gone. But going back to what I was saying here, Jerome Powell starts talking about how we need to have regulation for stable coins. why we need to have regulation for, I don't know if he said Bitcoin specifically, but cryptocurrency and these markets, because we have these regulations for mutual funds or money market funds. Therefore, we need to have these regulations for everything else, as if it's just a given that if we have this, if we have regulation for this, then we have to have it for this if A and B are similar, right? You're just coming to the table assuming that, again, doing a cost-benefit analysis on net balance, regulation is better. It's better that we have regulation for money market funds instead of taking a step further back and saying, wait a minute, maybe we shouldn't even have regulation for the money market funds. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't even have regulation for the banking system. You see, but when you get these layers of bureaucracy, what happens is the system starts to come to the conclusion that whatever level of bureaucracy we have right now is necessary. And this is why the state, one of the main reasons why the state grows and grows and grows. So we need to shift that mindset in saying that no, just because we have this much bureaucracy today, it doesn't mean that's what is necessary. It just means that's what we have today. And if you look at historical precedents, it becomes clear that we need to reduce the amount of bureaucracy. We need to start with a new paradigm shift in society at large, understanding that we need to go backwards as far as the power of the government and the state and the central planners. We need to decrease the level of power they have in order to improve society. We don't need to increase the amount of regulations and power that Mr. Brown has thrust upon himself. But main takeaway here, guys, is let's continue to look at the yield curve. This is very important. And although Jerome Powell claimed that no one has ever predicted a recession, and that's impossible, that is completely untrue. Well, maybe no person, although I know plenty of people that have predicted recessions very, very well. It's just that the mainstream media doesn't listen to them. Just like I know plenty of people who got the Cervasa sickness right and got the whole mandates right and the masks right, and the medicine right. But for some reason, they're swept under the rug. And we don't want to talk to those people. We want to pretend they don't exist. Just like we want to pretend that the people who have called past recessions very, very well, we want to pretend like they don't exist. So everyone just continues to put their full trust and faith in the central planners. Well, I'm encouraging all of you, do not put your trust and faith in the central planners. Put your trust and faith in history, data, and facts. More specifically, the yield curve. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. And I will see you this weekend at Rebel Capitalists Live. You still want to get those tickets? It's rebelcapitalistslive.com.